call to order the regular meeting of the Parks Planning Committee events for September 16th. And we'll start with the pledge, and I'll go ahead and lead it. So let's go ahead and stand, please. And face the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Ms. Wang, please call the roll.
Vice Chair Freeman.
Here.
Commissioner Romero.
Here.
Commissioner Fields.
Present.
Commissioner Perez. And then let the record show that Commissioners Litwin, Allsweed, and Chair Cushon are absent.
Thank you. And I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Commissioner Romero to your first official meeting. It's great to see you here.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
At this time, members of the public may address the commission on matters not listed on the agenda, which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of this commission, provided that no action can be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Ms. Wang, do we have any public comments today?
We do not.
Okay, I will close the public comment sections and move to item 3.1, approval of the minutes from our May 20th meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented? Do I have a second? Any comments? If not, please vote. Second was Commissioner Perez. Item passes 4-0. Item 4.1, capital improvements project planning for the fiscal year 26-27. Do we have a staff report for this?
Yes, we do. Our Parks and Facilities Manager, Robert Ambrose Jr., is going to be presenting on that item.
Good evening, Mr. Vice Chair and Commission. Tonight, I bring to you our Community Services fiscal year 26-27 capital improvement project plan. So the Community Services fiscal year 26-27 projects listed in your report include capital improvement projects, CIPs, previously approved by City Council that require continual funding, our previous recommendations from the Commission, deferred maintenance, or continuation projects. So given the City's current operating budget deficit and the inability of the Department's operating budget to absorb large deferred maintenance projects, they have been included within this list of fiscal year 27 projects. New major renovation projects, on the other hand, have not been included in the fiscal year 27 CIP list. So note that as the City moves forward with the approved Parks Master Plan process this fiscal year, the Commission, along with the community, will have the opportunity to provide input on park needs, which in turn will help identify larger park projects and renovations that can be included into our CIP list at a later time. So starting with previously approved projects requiring additional funding, we first have parking lot pavement rehabilitation. This CIP project addresses various stages of degradation of parking lots. Pavement maintenance and renovation of parking lots has already been completed at Kilifer, Eisenhower, El Camino Real, Olive, Grijalva, Schaefer, Handy, Fred Barrera, McPherson, Serrano, and Santiago Hills Parks. The next parking lot location in need of rehab is Steve Ambrose Memorial Park. After this parking lot is rehabbed, this project will be complete. So the project budget at this time is $60,000 to do Steve Ambrose. The next approved project requiring additional funding is park restroom interior renovations. 19 of the city's parks have restroom buildings. Many of these restrooms were last renovated 15 to 20 years ago and are in need of renovation to ensure the restrooms are functional and presentable. This project will involve evaluation, design, and renovation of park restroom facilities. A specific scope will be developed for each restroom building depending on individual needs. This program looks to renovate restrooms at one park per fiscal year. The restrooms at Hart Park are included in our current fiscal year 26 CIP. The next restroom facility in need of rehab is at Santiago Hills Park. That approximate project budget is $70,000. The last approved project requiring additional funding is sports court resurfacing. City parks with either tennis, pickleball, basketball, volleyball, and or handball courts include Steve Ambrose Memorial, El Camino Real, Grijalva, Hart, Santiago Hills, and Serrano Parks. Court surfacing is specialized and requires contracted maintenance on a regular schedule in order to maintain a safe playing surface. Estimates to resurface each sports court will vary, so project budget will vary every fiscal year. The basketball courts at Grijalva were resurfaced this past year, and the Hart Park tennis courts are scheduled for resurfacing this fiscal year. The next two sports courts most in need of resurfacing are the volleyball courts and tennis courts at El Camino Real Park, which would, with approval, or recommendation, excuse me, be included into the fiscal year 27 plan. Project budget is $125,000 for the El Camino courts. And it should be noted, with the resurfacing of the El Camino Real tennis courts, the option of permanently converting one tennis court to four pickleball courts within this project could also be considered. Although we have 10 new pickleball courts coming to Hart Park in 2026, staff has received community feedback asking for a permanent conversion of at least one tennis court to pickleball courts. So if this option is recommended by the commission, we would further look into how much it would cost to do a permanent court conversion and share that with the commission in October. Additionally, the commission is being asked to consider three new potential park capital improvement projects for fiscal year 27. First, we have our Veterans Park Memorial Fountain Restoration. Due to ground settling, the foundation of the Veterans Park Fountain is lifting and is no longer level. This has caused fountain water to pass over the weir unevenly, causing tile discoloration and cracking due to mineral buildup. This project would include restoration of the existing fountain to correct water flow issues, tile removal, and replacement of current tiles at the fountain. The approximate project budget would be $40,000. Next, we have the Santiago Creek Trail Lodge Pole Fencing Replacement. So along the north side of the Santiago Creek Trail, in the section between South Cambridge heading east to South Tustin, the split rail fencing is rotted and broken in several places. The splintering wood and fence openings are creating potential safety hazards for trail users. Replacement is needed for the approximate 2,500 linear feet of fencing. Approximate project budget for this is $50,000. Lastly, we have our playground equipment replacement. So the typical lifespan of park playground equipment is 8 to 12 years, and the existing playground equipment in several of our city parks is reaching the end of their useful life. While they are inspected regularly for safety standard compliance, many are exhibiting signs of wear and tear. So over the years, staff have made numerous repairs and installed replacement pieces, but there's now the need for full playground replacements. The goal of this project would be to replace playground equipment with new, safe, and accessible structures. One to two playgrounds would be replaced annually based on priority of current conditions and age. The cost to replace each park playground will vary, so project budget will vary each fiscal year. Please note that the remaining park playgrounds without shade sails installed, which is one at Hart, one at Killifer, one at McPherson, one at Santiago Hills, and two at Eisenhower, would have shade sails installed along with the installation of new playground equipment. Once again, the project for this, as mentioned, will vary per playground. So based on the commission's input, staff will return with a list for commission's final recommendation to council at the October meeting. That concludes my report, and I'm here to answer any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any requests to speak from the public on this matter?
We do not.
Okay, I'll close the public comments and bring it back to the commission. Mr. Fields.
Thank you. How many comments have you gotten regarding folks wanting a pickleball court versus folks not wanting a pickleball court?
So you're speaking of the El Camino option? We haven't really so much, I'd say, received people not saying they don't want it. It's been all people saying they do want it. This has been over the period, I want to say, maybe the last couple of years since we've done the overlay. So a lot of the folks that are using the overlay want it to just be permanent pickleball courts, so they're not having to share with tennis. I would say, I don't know, roughly half a dozen to a dozen folks over the last couple of years have probably mentioned, you know, that they'd like to see it. I know we've recently received two or three, but within the last couple of years, we probably had a handful on top of that. So yeah, no more than, you know, 10 to 12, but in that range, give or take, we've had folks reach out about that.
And I realize it's going to be in a different part of the city, but once we open up all those pickleball courts in Hart Park, should that reduce the demands?
We think so, which is kind of why, you know, we're looking to the commission. I mean, as staff, you know, we can see their point. We're a little hesitant at the same time, and that's why we're kind of putting it as an option to the commission this evening to see, you know, what the recommendation would be on behalf of commission, because it, I mean, I personally think we, you know, obviously it's going to make a huge difference because El Camino is right up the street from Hart. So yes, I think the 10 courts are going to make a difference, but you know, since we're planning for fiscal year 27, if this is an option that we thought, hey, let's still accommodate and add, you know, up to four more pickleball courts in El Camino, we could do that, making a total of 14 courts available pretty much along that same street, or just stick with the 10, see how that turns out, and maybe if there's still a need, we could look at the option in the future. The only reason we're putting it out now is because the El Camino tennis courts are up for resurfacing in fiscal year 27. So we could also do it at a later time, but it's probably going to be more, yeah, you know, cost intrusive because we'll have to basically a little bit dig up what we already just recently did. So we're giving that option of do it now.
I guess my input to that would be, I'd like to see what the cost would be. If it's going to be a significant amount though, since we have them right down the street, if I were going to spend more money, I'd almost rather see it spent on the other side of the city, maybe more at Grijalva or something like that, where we could serve other parts of the cities. That's my input.
Okay.
Commissioner Fields?
I think, you know, you can never have too much of a good thing. I'm not a pickleball player. I try to avoid watching it whenever I can, but it comes on TV and I just sit there and start watching it. And it is one of the fastest growing sports in America. I know relative to each other, El Camino Real and Hart are about 2.5 miles as the crow flies. But that's not necessarily right down the street from each other, as well as, you know, we still have temporary pickleball at Grijalva, yeah, inside. I assume that that's not going to go away once the pickleball courts at Hart are there.
Correct.
So, I mean, folks on the west side of town will have access to pickleball. Conversely, that should actually help lessen the demand on the new pickleball courts at Hart because they have something that's there that's readily available for them, for folks on that side of town. Just my thought about that. And, I mean, if we're going to do it, we might as well do it now when it's not going to have to cost more money to go back and redo it.
Commissioner Romero.
In regard to the items in front of us, the one that makes me the most nervous is the Santiago Trail fencing, only from a city liability standpoint. It says there's people walking along the trail in that area, and I just don't know how dangerous that fencing is if we have splintered wood that's sticking out. Have we had any accidents in that area, or do you think that's a liability for us and something that we should look at first?
I'm going to have our senior project landscape coordinator, Nathan Bloom, see if he can answer that question for you.
Good evening, commissioners. Right now, nothing's unsafe or unsecure. They're temporary repairs that are being made as the fence. They're permanent posts it's connected fence line. So when something occurs, one of the old ones rots away or something, we do make a temporary, our staff makes a temporary repair. But it's not, so it's begun to take on it's not the desired appearance. And the fence, like we say, is rotting, so this occurs more often than it should be. And so right now, the total length of the fence is it's due for a new upgrade in fencing. And we'd like to do it with a different material that is more easily repaired in the future. So this kind of thing doesn't happen. But there's nothing that's, it's safe at the moment.
If you had to guesstimate in your expert opinion about how long do you think that fence and putting a Band-Aid on it, about how long do you think we can wait to make that repair or to change it?
Honestly, hard to say. I think it's, personally, I believe it should be made soon. It should be at least planned for in the next couple of years.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Fields.
Oh, don't go away. Don't go away. No. Sorry. I use that section pretty frequently. I'm a runner, and I run that section of the trail. I used to live off of Cambridge, so I'd go up to Grahavn back.
Sure.
I have a couple of questions, two questions, literally. So you said you were hoping to put in something that was a little bit more easily replaceable. What would that be? And if we had to stretch this out, how long would you say we could stretch it out without, you know, like, and obviously it's your bailiwick, you want it replaced yesterday. But if we had to go, how long would you say we could go?
So it would need to be planned, but the goal, the way I would envision this, it would look the same or very similar. The difference is that the fence that's there right now is a fixed fence line. So it's the type of lodgepole fencing where there's holes or cores through the posts. And so once it's fit together, you can't really do anything except put a lateral piece on it and screw it to, and so it's just not really the way it was intended originally. But they do make fences very similar in appearance that have a more modular approach that are more repairable. So that said, the fence could be done in stages or, you know, phases. It could take certain sections at a time, possibly, but it hasn't been. We haven't planned that out to this moment, at this stage yet. Does that answer?
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Commissioner Romero?
Not in regard to this item, but in regard to the playgrounds. I'm not sure if you also handle the maintenance on the playgrounds as well.
I might be able to answer that. Yeah.
That's the other one that makes me nervous, only because I have babies and we're at a lot of these parks all the time. And I know during, you know, concerts in the park when all the kids are playing on the playground, I'm looking at the playground and thinking that really needs to be replaced. So I'm looking at kind of from a city standpoint, mitigating risk. And so for me, the two biggest liabilities I think on there are the trail fencing and then the playground equipment. I think the rest of them are kind of nice asks and things that we would love to do, but I think from a risk standpoint, we may want to consider looking at those two first. Thank you.
And then, excuse me, Commissioner Litwin couldn't make it today, but he did submit some comments that he wanted us to be aware of what his thoughts were. Those are in the updated
Chair.
File.
Yes. If you can share with the public that those comments are also available.
Yes, I was just thinking they're on the website right now. They're on the city's website and have been uploaded. But he just wanted to emphasize that he thought that we need to focus on what the community uses on an everyday basis. He listed playgrounds as the top of that list. And then restroom renovations are another thing that just can't wait. They're desperately needed facilities. Trail fencing repairs at Santa Ana Creek needs to be a top priority too. For the sports courts, he supports the resurfacing at El Camino Real and the idea of converting the one tennis court to four pickleball courts. Even with the new courts at Hart Park, demand is strong, so he thinks that's an important thing. His thing that he sort of put down at the bottom of the list, though, was the Veterans Park fountain. He felt that that was a symbolism, but it's lower on the list because he felt like that was more urgent things that the public use on a day-to-day basis. So that was his basic input, but his comments are available on the website. Any other, Commissioner Romero? Do you still need to speak again?
No, sir.
Okay, you're done. Okay, Commissioner Fields.
I agree with Commissioner, I don't know if you're listening or not, you can go on and watch it later on. I agree with Commissioner Litwin on a lot of what he said. I think that, you know, all of these items on the CIP are important for different reasons. Safety, really a lot of it is quality of life issues. I think about the Veterans Park Memorial Fountain, and that's something that while folks don't really go there as much as they might go to Hart Park or something else, that is a tribute to our veterans, to folks who have served and are serving. And the least that we can do is, not shrug it off as, oh, that can wait because this may be better or this whatever. I'm going to ask this because I know I'm channeling my inner Commissioner Alsweed. Is there any possibility that we could possibly apply for some sort of grant funding to fix some of these things, like the Veterans Memorial Fountain or some of the sites, depending on where they're at, based on demographics? I know that the federal government and the state do grants based on demographics for parks. Hopefully, I don't know if they've re-upped the contract with our lobbyists or not, but hopefully that gets re-upped and they can start doing some of that so it's not just on the city. But if I said, hey, what do we need to do? I think I would follow the recommendation of staff that we convert one of those tennis courts into a pickleball court at El Camino Real. I like your idea of phasing in the construction on the fence at Santiago Creek. I definitely agree with Commissioner Romero about the need to, refurbish the playground equipment. The park restrooms are a huge deal as well. We have the public using them, and they deserve great facilities. And, you know, there was something last year that, and I'm grateful for the folks who found the money to fix the basketball court and the gym equipment at Grijalva. And I think the other folks deserve their shot at it too. I think this is putting all of these things that I mentioned on the list. They may not get done, they probably won't, but the worst that we can do is ask and the city council say no. Because really these are quality of life. And I think that the residents of Orange deserve that. So I would say we put those items forward. That would be my recommendation.
Do we have any idea at all where the budgets are gonna go with this? Or is any of this coming from designated budgets that wouldn't be part of the general fund, which is where the squeeze point is right now in the city?
No, great question, Commissioner. No, this is all 510 funding at this point that would be asked through the CIP plan. So this would all be park development funds, excuse me, that would be used for this, which is called our 510 funds. So all of these would be coming from that, which is our capital improvement budget.
So we do have
we have sufficient funds to cover this with the recommendation.
Okay, correct. That's good. Now, Commissioner Perez, do you have anything you want to add?
Thank you for your report. I believe that what is planned, it sounds realistic, and I support it. It'd be great to have all three, but if there is a need to prioritize, I would go with the playgrounds and the trail and the memorial. I don't know if any of the other veteran organizations that are involved with the city may want to contribute to that, or if that's something maybe can look into, but I know there's the American Legion and the group with the Field of Valor. I'm just kind of thinking from the top of my head, but I agree with all that also the rest of the commissioners just stated.
Commissioner Romero.
That was An excellent question. And I hear this all the time about the Veterans Fountain, that it's a reflection of us as a city and who we are. And people get very upset about it. And are we able to direct staff to reach out to the Elks CFO and to the American Legion to see if that's something that they could help to facilitate? Because it might free up some of our other funds to do the other things we would love to do. That's my first question. And my second question would be, are you essentially just looking for us to prioritize, you know, 1 to 10, what we would like to see done first? Like, if we can do all these 10 things, but to prioritize which ones we would like done immediately?
So first question, sure, we can reach out to those groups and see if they're interested in helping with the funding. Like Robert said, though, we do have the funds in the CIP to cover all of these, so no need to really prioritize. If there's a strong opinion one way or the other, like we absolutely are against a certain project, we want to hear that. But ultimately, these are staff's recommendations based on need. No need to prioritize.
Ms. Bustamante, as the first question, I just want to make sure that if the commission is directing staff to take action, that I can get a majority vote or a majority nod of approval, just so that it's a consensus that that the commission itself is asking to reach out to certain organizations such as the Elks Lodge. So as long as I can get either a verbal or visual nod from the commission, then I think that would be appropriate for the record.
Okay. Thank you.
I think if we have the money, then let's hold off and ask them for money, because we're going to, I think we're all thinking, because we're so used to being broke that we have to choose which of these items we want to do. I think we love all of these ideas. And so let's save those organizations for a rainy day when we're really out of money.
And of course, some of that still depends on when you get the final bids back to know where we're going to land on some of this stuff.
Well, for the fountain, I can tell you it's a bit old, the estimate that we received now, because we actually were considering this, I believe, a year ago or so. So we kind of fluffed it a little bit of what our old number was, but I wouldn't say it's completely accurate, but I'd say it's a good approximation of what we put in there right now for that wall to be done. So yeah, we could get obviously a more recent, more up-to-date estimate, but we're assuming it's going to be kind of what we put in the report.
I was just thinking on the whole CIPs, like on the resurfacings and the adding the pickleball and stuff like that.
Yes, we're going to get final estimates, correct. We're just giving approximations at this point. Absolutely, yes.
Commissioner Perez.
Yes, I also wanted to mention about El Camino Park. I think that's a great idea to have the pickleball there, because I think that Hart Park's going to get pretty busy, and I wouldn't want them to have, the residents over there to have to wait, and so they could have access also. But I'm glad to hear that we have enough money for all. The way the conversation was going, I thought it was kind of leaning towards prioritizing or picking something, but I think you've done a marvelous job with this.
Well, thank you. But yes, this is completely separate, and I apologize I didn't include that in my staff report, that this is all 510 park development fees. So yes, and then as far as the best of my knowledge, that we do have sufficient funds to cover these projects. We do have TBA, you know, or to be, excuse me, TBD for to be determined, for example, you know, the playgrounds, because that varies on the size, the square footage, the whole nine of what we're looking to fill in which park. And then, of course, what we're speaking of now, the El Camino permanent transition or conversion. We didn't go as far as having the opportunity to get that estimate. So those are numbers that we have to look at. But even approximating in my head with what I think each one is going to be, we're going to have enough in our park development fees.
Okay. So does that give enough feedback for you to be able to come back next month with the final?
I believe that, I mean, if the commission recommendation is to recommend as is that what we're hearing? I don't know, Ms. City Attorney.
I would recommend that we recommend. I would move that we recommend. Thank you. Sorry. I would move that we recommend to convert one to all. Actually, sorry. Let me get my thoughts right. I would move that we recommend all of these recommendations, and regarding the tennis courts at El Camino Real, I would recommend that we convert one of them to four pickleball courts.
Okay, it's my understanding this is not an, we're not taking action today. We're only providing feedback to the council, I mean to the staff, and that we'll do the final approvals and recommendations.
That's correct. You're providing input for the, yeah. But if you do make a motion, then I think it gives me more clarity for the commission.
I second that.
Commissioner.
At El Camino, how many tennis courts are there?
There are six, right? You got me confused when you did. Yes, there are six. We have six. We would convert one, which we technically we have two that are overlaid right now, but they just want at least one because with the two that are overlaid, it only provides two pickleball courts. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we do a permanent conversion of one tennis court, we can do four pickleball courts. So actually it seems kind of weird that right now two is what they got, but we can make four out of one, but that's just the way it works with pickleball versus tennis court size. So.
And with pickleball being so popular, is there a reason if we have so many over there? I mean, are the tennis courts used all the time? Would we can? They are used all the time. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on, if there's no further discussion, we'll go ahead and take a vote, please. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you. Move on to item 4.2, USA 250, Orange Planning Update and Request for Input. Any staff report on this?
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair. Item 4.2 provides an update on the City of Orange's planning efforts for the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, also known as the semi-quincentennial, in 2026. At the May 20th meeting, the Commission formed a subcommittee to explore ways the City could commemorate this milestone. The subcommittee has taken a decentralized approach, encouraging community partners and nonprofits to integrate the semi-quincentennial theme into their existing events. So far, we've received commitments and interest from groups like the Kiwanis Club of Orange, Sons of the American Revolution, and Daughters of the American Revolution. Other ideas include pre-selling a commemorative t-shirt to raise both awareness and funds for future 250th activities. We've also uncovered a unique local tie. Orange co-founder Alfred Beck Chapman was the great-grandson of a Revolutionary-era figure, Reverend Jedediah Chapman, from Orange, New Jersey, creating an opportunity to highlight our city's ties to early American history. Tonight we're asking for your input on opportunities and priorities to help shape the city's recognition of the 250th anniversary.
Thank you. Do we have any public comments for this?
We do not.
I will close public comments. And being that two of the three subcommittee members are not present, I will try and just give a little bit more background. We've had several meetings. We're doing monthly now, and the focus that we've sort of taken is we were presenting to the commission today is while it's the U.S. 250th, and that's a big thing that we want to really focus on. We also want to look back and say what was our community like, and how did we get from 250 years ago to today, where we're all at this one single point in time, and what did our histories look like, and how do they converge? Because sometimes some of this stuff, when we start thinking about what happened on the East Coast, really doesn't have a relevance to us here on the West sometimes. So we're trying to figure out a way to look at getting some of the schools involved, maybe looking at, I'm reaching out to some people through Orange Unified to say, fourth grade is California history. So how can we start looking at when they go through the missions and they go through the different parts of California history? How can that be tied into a timeline that sort of gets us, how did we get to where we are in July 4th, 2026? So that's sort of what some of the ideas that the commission had, or the subcommittee had. I did have some comments that were also submitted by two commissioners. From Commissioner Litwin, he wrote here that as we're in the staff report, we're talking about a decentralized approach. We have limited staff. We don't have unlimited staff and funding. So we want to bring in partners, nonprofits, schools, churches, social clubs, and businesses. And that basically, I think the idea was that we were going to be the subcommittee and then the commission as a whole is sort of going to be more the clearinghouse, the coordinator, the idea generator, but we're really trying to bring in the partners to actually do the different events. And as the staff report said, we've had a few different groups that have already reached out to us, including in, he liked the ideas that were on the table from Qantas, Community Foundation, Daughters of American Revolution, Sons of the American Revolution. So the idea is just to, and just to get visible in some of the community events coming up as we start planning for this. I think really the subcommittee thought that we're really going to be hitting the ground hard with this probably by the first of the year. So if we can do, we get some ideas going by our next, you know, get some feedback today, work on it some more, come back with a solid proposal that we would send up to council too, since they asked us to put this together. In October, then we can start hitting different community events like Treats in the Streets and tree lighting as areas to start reaching out to the community and letting them know what's going on and how we're going to be doing things in Orange. Chair Kishan had also sent in something and talking about this idea of a sister city, and that he, you know, thought the idea of, he came up with Orange Township in New Jersey and has reached out to them, and they're evaluating it right now. But the idea that you got two different Orange communities on each side of the continent. And as the staff report said, we found that there was actually a connection between these cities, a family connection through. I won't go on, you can look at the staff the report later that's posted on the website, but just the idea is that he's reached out. We've had some talks within the city of Orange here, and there's some interest within the mayor that's interested in how we can make this work together. He reached out to the townships in, there's actually three different townships in New Jersey that are all part of what was that Orange development. So, I will just leave it at that and let you look at the report. But that's basically what he wanted to let us, everybody know, and he's working on that too. So, and open it up to the commission for any feedback or any suggestions. Anybody? Commissioner Romero.
I just want to say thank you so much for all of your work on this. I think it sounds beautiful. I'm excited to see what we do.
Commissioner Field.
First, I want to thank the City Council for empowering this commission to make recommendations and giving us a focus on something to do to celebrate our nation's birthday next year. And I want to thank the subcommittee for their efforts. I have a couple of suggestions of things that we could possibly do. I'll speak slowly because I have a long list.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we could do, I would suggest that the subcommittee come up with an actual theme to recommend for the celebration for the city of Orange. I know that the city council likes choices, so I would say give them three different choices for a theme. And that way we can all, when I say we, I mean all of our community partners, can know exactly what we're working with. Next, I would recommend probably reaching out to the Elks Lodge. They have an Elks Lodge picnic that's annual. They usually partner with the city of Garden Grove, but I think for the 250th anniversary, if they hosted a community picnic and a pie eating contest where the participants had to be sponsored, kind of like how the Duke of Orange has to be sponsored, the contestants, that would pay for the pie eating and whatever cute little award that the winning pie eater got. I'm thinking a community picnic, something like at Grijalva, where it's open to everyone, food trucks, nonprofits come, you know, maybe the churches come and do the free face painting. It doesn't have to be tied to the 3rd of July. It's just a something in the summer or the spring or something like that to host. You know, part of the mission of the Elks Lodge is Americana. I think they'd probably be really interested in doing that. You all had a great idea when it comes to the walk to partnering with OUSD. I would reach out to the Council of PTAs for the OUSD, because each school does this thing called walk through history. and that is where they put on like basically a history presentation. And if you reach out to the Council of PTAs, maybe they can all coordinate with the theme of celebrating the nation's 250th anniversary at the different schools, and they can partner in that. I would also suggest reaching out to Chapman. Maybe, I don't know if they have a spring performance or some sort of performance, maybe partnering something along those lines. I know that they have a great celebration for homecoming. Maybe they can open that up to everyone or as many people who can come to make it homecoming for the 250th anniversary. We also have another educational partner in Santiago Canyon College. Specifically, and I'll put you in touch with their foundation director, they have a 5K that they do in April, I want to say. Possibly they could partner with the city and, you know, make it a 250th anniversary 5K where they do all the work and the city is just a co-sponsor. So this, there's no public funds spent on that. And then finally, I would highly recommend that we start looking for community sponsors to have some sort of 3rd of July event. I think that that should be the capstone to our celebration and our recognition, having, you know, our community come together to celebrate the nation's birthday. It could be the most unifying thing that we do in the next year.
Thank you. Those are great comments. Some of those are stuff that we were working on internally within the committee. And I agree with you 100% on that last item, that I think somehow, I know that the city's not going to be able to put on a 3rd of July, but somehow if we can start working out in the community and get something going, I think that's got to be the 3rd, 4th of July is the focal point of why we're, what the celebration is. So it'd be great to see if we can get something like that going in some way. May not look like what we've done in the past, but it'd be nice to see something in the future. But thank you. Any other comments, suggestions, or things you would like the subcommittee to continue working on? So we will take some of these feedbacks to our next meeting, and we will put together more of a formalized idea of what we've heard from you. If there's any other suggestions you have, could you please forward them to Emily, so that she could then bring them into the subcommittee. That way we can try and avoid Brown Act issues with you talking to us directly. But if you could submit them to Leslie or Emily, and then we will make sure that in the subcommittee will include that in our final report that we'll bring back to next month's meeting to get the full commission's endorsement before we send it up to City Council. So, thank you. Item 5 on the agenda, Community Service Director's Report.
Thank you. I have a few exciting updates to share with you tonight. First, I'm pleased to report that, as previously mentioned, the Kiwanis Club of Orange completed a very successful 5 concert series for Concerts in the Park series this past summer, and they've already submitted a letter of interest to continue providing concerts in the park for the next 3 years, which is great news for our community. Next, the Orange International Street Fair has entered into an agreement with the city, committing to take on both Treats in the Streets and tree lighting ceremony for the next 4 years, so 2025 through 2028. To speak to your 3rd of July question, I know we've gotten a lot of questions about the 3rd of July and the status of that event for 2026. We do know how meaningful this event is to the Orange community and how nicely it fits into the celebration of the 250th. We are currently researching options for this event to be 100% cost recovery. Once we have more information, we plan on bringing that back to the commission in October. In regards to CIP projects, I'm excited to announce that the Grijalva area lighting project has been completed. Grijalva now shines bright with 54 new light poles installed around the perimeter pathways, making the park safer and more welcoming for all of our visitors. quick update on some of our ongoing projects. So we broke ground on the Hart Park Pickleball and Fitness Circuit project in early August, and we are moving full steam ahead on that project. Also, the skate park project has gone through several rounds of edits on the, in the design process. We are very close to getting final plans. And in the meantime, we are drafting the request for bids for construction. So that project is moving. And then lastly, the Antipasado Park and Well Site 28 is nearing completion. We expect to do a ribbon cutting towards the end of October. So once that information is finalized, we'll be sure to let you know about that. This concludes my report.
Thank you. I wanted to mention, too, I think we talked about, and I should have mentioned it before, the Kiwanis doing the concerts in the park. They were looking at doing an Americana for the whole summer to help tie into that whole 250. So that was something. So I think that'd be good. Do we have an update on the Westside Park, the one along the river? I'm just curious, because that one we didn't hear about.
So on our side of things, we're moving straight ahead. And I can just briefly tell you, as far as environmental review stuff, our consultant has, made the revisions needed to the CEQA process, to the MND. And then as far as the NEPA process, they're currently trying to get access to submit that information to HUD. And then as far as the design itself, the consultant has made some revisions. I'm actually going to be reviewing those revisions with Nathan, who was just here a little bit earlier, this Thursday. We're going to kind of go through and provide him with comments. Now, on the actual construction side of things, we're still in a holding pattern because of the county flood control. They took one step forward and four steps back. Unfortunately, it was a little bit out of their control from what I heard, but the levee that they're building, the county parks and county sheriff's departments had some issues with the way the levee design was. They're actually going to be moving forward with designing a levee wall for a portion of where they were going to put the levee. So now it's going to be a wall, and they're having to kind of go back to the drawing board a little bit on that. The wall will be adjacent to where our new park is. So right now, this is all kind of still in the process. But yeah, they're kind of having to go back to the design phase, look at that. So it may be a little bit more time, because unfortunately we can't build ahead of that levee project, because they need to use our future park site as a staging access for construction vehicles when they do their projects. So we can't build a park knowing that they're going to need it for staging, and that's all part of their approved plan already. So being their property, we kind of have to abide by that. So long story short, we're going to continue to move forward with environmental, with our design, but then it's going to kind of come to a halt until we can get final designs from the county.
So we're probably a couple years out yet, at least.
Best case scenario.
Okay. Mr. Fields.
Quick question on that. Who pays for that wall?
Who pays for that wall?
Yeah.
That is a good question, because that's a county deal. I don't know how their funding is worked out.
No, I mean, like, is the county paying for that 100%?
Oh, yeah.
Is that part of what's
coming out? Yeah, that's not part of our project. Absolutely not. No.
Thank you. And I have two quick other questions. Regarding Grijalva Park, I noticed that it was fenced off. The actual field was fenced off a lot during the summer, pretty much the entire summer. What happened?
So we actually did a reseed. We actually worked with the football organization that's out there. It's
soccer.
Excuse me. OJSC.
Is it OJSC?
OJSC.
Soccer OJSC. They paid for that in full. So basically, we go through the contractor that the city has. They pay the city back for the funds that are used for that. So what it was is we did a deep tine aeration, reseeded, fertilized, and did all of that work along with the contractor. So that's why it was fenced off, so that way the seed and the fertilization and everything could take. So it was about a month or two before we actually had a good enough growth back to do like a first mow. And then they continued on with the mowing, and then we just recently reopened it. So it looked great when it first happened, but we've had a little bit of wear and tear out there. It still doesn't look too bad, but it's definitely not the pristineness that we had when we took the fence down, but it's definitely a difference. And that was able to get done this year because in previous years, we obviously had 3rd of July. So it wasn't to the benefit for them to spend thousands of dollars to redo that when we were going to have 3rd of July on it. With the benefit of not having 3rd of July, they were able to do it again. So it's been a few years because I think the last time they did it was prior to our first 3rd of July there. And that's what happened.
It does look great. It doesn't smell great, but it does look And lastly, I was driving by Fred Barrera the other day, and I noticed the playground is roped off. What can you give an update on that?
Good question. So we are going through our rubberized surface maintenance program right now. So that is one of our playgrounds with rubberized surface. And Barrera was actually our first one up for the season. I think it was the second week of September we were out there. That is now concluded. I believe we're at Serrano this week. And so, yeah, that's why that was fenced off for the rubberized surface maintenance.
Commissioner Romero.
I would like to say thank you so much to the Kiwanis of Orange. That was an amazing summer concert series, and I think because we had the threat of it being taken away from us, for them to bring it back made us appreciate it all that much more. And I'm wondering about if we looked, I know council has talked about this a lot with Hart Park Pool being closed, and I had some folks reach out to me that mentioned that they had reached out to the city and said they were looking to fund Hart Park Pool for the summer to keep it open. I know we recently did that fee study. I don't know if we at the time probably knew what those numbers would be to keep Hart Park Pool open. Is that something that you guys are working on for next year? Has council directed that for you guys to try to keep it open?
I'm going to keep this one brief because it's a little bit airs on the side of operations. But yes, we are looking at options for how we can have aquatics.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Commissioner Perez.
Thank you. I just really like during all of the conditions that have changed. And just want to give you guys a compliment on that.
Commissioner Fields, you need anything? Okay. Well, thank you very much for the report. And if there's nothing else, I will go ahead and adjourn the meeting. And the next scheduled meeting will be on Tuesday, October 21st, 2025 at 5:30 here in the council chambers. Thank you.